Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Michelle Bachmann jumped on board. Rick Santorum gives major speeches across the country on this anti-Shia, but 29 states about a non-existing issue.
A non-existing issue? The subject of Sharia is a non-existing issue? And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of the future of Islam. And this was Professor John Esposito, who gave the lecture in Kentucky University to tell his audience what is happening in America. That is when our politician, Michelle Bachmann and Rick Santorum and others spoke about the subject of Sharia, that they were making a big deal out of nothing. Why? Because Sharia does not exist in America. Do you know why Professor Esposito is saying that? First of all, as we shared in our last broadcast, because simply he does not have a clue what Sharia is. Even though he's an expert, he's been doing that for 40 some years, but he have no clue what is in Sharia. In his own words, he said, Muslims pray 5 times a day. That is Sharia. They fast or whatever. That's how much Professor Esposito knows about Sharia. 5 daily prayers plus fasting. That's why we have a problem in America. And the problem is the leadership of this country is being brainwashed with ignorant people who know nothing about Islam, or, and I say it again, or perhaps Professor Esposito knows everything you need to know about Islam, but he is using our ignorance to brainwash our leaders and our new future generations to make us believe that there is nothing wrong with Islam and Sharia does not exist in America. Why is he doing that? As I shared with you before, I repeat again, it's just because he received millions of dollars from the Saudi Muslim Sunni for one thing, which is educating America with the propaganda Islam. Today I'm going to be talking with you about, does Sharia truly exist in America? Do we have any cases of Sharia in America? For anyone to say that Sharia does not exist in America, it is exactly equal to saying we do not have any Muslims living in America. So what is Sharia? It is the way of life for the Muslim. It is the sacred, holy laws for the Muslims. Where does Sharia come from? Once again, Sharia is the orders of Allah in the Quran and the orders of Muhammad in the Hadith. My dear friends, when you open the Quran and you read Allah's words, you will see that Allah says, do this and don't do that. And when you study the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith, you will see that Muhammad there said, do this and don't do that. And if you obey these laws, you are rewarded. And if not, you will be punished. Sharia guides all aspects of Muslims' lives. And what aspects am I talking about? I am talking about politics, daily routines, food, clothing, sports, family and religious obligations, financial dealings, punishments, military, and important, how to deal with non-Muslims, infidels, just like you and me. Imagine with me, Professor Esposito is telling us the subject of Sharia is nothing to worry about. We have no problem with Sharia in America, but Sharia exists wherever Muslims move. So since we have few millions of Muslims living in America, now we know for sure we have a problem in America, and that Sharia guides all aspects of the life of the Muslims, meaning before the baby is conceived in the mother's womb till when that baby grows up to be an old man or an old woman and dies and is buried in dirt. That's exactly how Muslims practice Sharia. It covers all aspects of their lives. So in simple words, Everything about the life of the Muslims is covered by Sharia. Let me share with you some examples. Concerning politics, let me ask the question. Why do Muslims in America vote Democrats, not Republicans? Because that is the political obligation in Sharia. They must vote with the weak party. I mean, the party which will destroy their enemies' land, which makes Muslims strong. We talk about the daily routine. How are you going to live your 24 hours? It must be covered by Sharia. I mean, what are you going to be wearing? What are you going to be eating? What kind of sport are you going to play? And how are you going to play this sport? For example, can girls swim in a swimming pool with boys in America? Of course not. So how are young Muslim ladies practicing Sharia in their swimming? They just simply swim alone, not with the boys. While the wacko Americans are trying to make it okay for men to go to girls' bathrooms, Muslims will tell you, you cannot be near the swimming pool in the hours where Muslim ladies are swimming in a public swimming pool. Do we have any problem with that in America already? Yes, indeed we do. And the fixing of this problem was very easy. We just have to accommodate the Muslims and allow them to have special days, special hours for only Muslim ladies to swim in our public swimming pools. How about religious obligations? That 5 daily prayers and everything else that goes with religious obligations, Muslim must fulfill it to appease and please Allah, not the infidel Americans. And it's covered by Sharia. What about financial dealings? Think about this with me, America. Do we have Sharia finance in America? Once again, I do not know where Professor Esposito is living. I don't believe his house is located under a huge rock in New York. Because he must have some access to how Muslims practice Sharia finance in America. And my friends, I'm not talking about Muslims controlling their own life, how they live, how they deal with all these issues. No, 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 no. How we must fulfill their requests and do exactly what they want us to do. So now, have you drank Coca-Cola lately? Every time American people open a can of Coca-Cola and drink it, 2.5% of the profit of the Coca-Cola company automatically, Professor Esposito, automatically goes to Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi, the Muslim Brotherhood leader who is in charge for the Sharia finance. Add to that, all the banks, all the insurances, all the big, huge businesses in America who are practicing Sharia finance, 2.5% of all their profits go directly to the Muslim Brotherhood, the jihadi whom we're fighting overseas. Muslims no longer need money for the jihad from the Muslim world, the Saudi oil. No, 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 no. They just get it from the American people through businesses all over America, or we just send it to them in the billions as aid from our tax money. Keep drinking Coca-Cola, America, and for sure, Muslim jihadi, those who love and practice Sharia, will have all the money they need. Not only will they control the Muslim world, but they will control even America. You're giving your own country with your ignorance to the Muslim people through only 2.5% of Sharia finance, which Professor Esposito does not believe it is happening in America. Think about food. Do we have halal food in America? Yes, of course, McDonald's, Subway, and Burger King, and whatever stores out there, they're pleasing the Muslim in their community, serving them halal food. That's not the issue. You can sell whatever you want to sell. You can sell dirt if people eat it in America. I'm talking about forcing halal food on us, the Christians of America. Ah, come on, Usama, this is not happening in America. Yes, indeed, it is happening. First, you go to the public school, or say jail, or prison, or any military base, and they will tell us, we have Muslims here. They don't eat the pork. They have to eat halal food. What is halal food? That is a chicken or a cow butchered by a Muslim butcher, or whatever creatures killed according to Sharia, Islamic law. So we have to serve them halal food killed by halal way, which is the Islamic way, the Sharia way, which Professor Esposito
tells us it is not happening in America.
Then we move to a community like Detroit or Dearborn, where we have large number of Muslim students. First, we're going to serve them two separate lunches. One for the good Muslims who eat lawful, clean food, and one for the infidels who eat garbage. Because that's how Muslims look at our sausage and bacon and all the non-lawful food. But slowly, since we have large number of students in that school, we just make a request, no more unlawful food in the school, period. Everybody's going to eat the halal chicken or the halal beef. And that's how Muslims take over the school lunch, one school at a time.
The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is excited to announce the creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient track that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstood Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arises from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. To order these new booklets, please visit thestraightway.org for more information.
Do you know what's happening in New Zealand right now? You cannot find pork in the market, my friends. You cannot find any unlawful food in any store, only halal food. And to make it worse, not only do the people of New Zealand give 2.5%, they actually give 5%. And the day will come, they'll be paying 10% or whatever the Muslims desire to get out of the infidels of New Zealand. And that's when the Muslims will call it jizya, and the people of New Zealand will be paying it, like it or not, in the near future, when Muslims will have the upper hand. Because, you believe it or not, it is part of the religious obligations. Quran chapter 9, verse 29, you must pay jizya, tribute tax, as you are subdued to the Muslims, when they have the upper hand in any country around the world. And guess what? The number of Muslims who live in New Zealand is much less than 2%. I can only imagine how they're going to run this country when they get to their 5 or 6%. It will be unfixable forever. But Professor Esposito assured his audience that that subject of Sharia doesn't even exist in America. How about the punishments? Because Sharia also guides the subject of punishments. As I shared in a previous program, I repeat again, there are hundreds of Muslims killed in America, not by our judicial system. No. They were killed by their own parents. A mom or a dad can kill their children, not in Saudi Arabia or in Egypt. Here in America, one case after another of honor killing. Why? Because the punishment is part of Sharia, Professor Esposito. I know that ignorant people like yourself will say this is culture. This has nothing to do with Islam. But in reality, that is what is written in the book of The Reliance of the Traveler. That is exactly what is taught throughout the pages of the Quran and the teaching of Muhammad in the Hadith. That is Sharia in a nutshell. We're so happy in America to have Muslims join our military because we're assuming they're good Muslim Americans. But in reality, even those whom we pay for their education and we promoted them to have a high position, like say Major Nidal Malik Hassan, do you remember that gentleman, Professor Esposito in Fort Hood, Texas? And many other locations in our military bases in America where Muslims hunt us and kill us, not overseas, but in our borders in America? Yeah, Nidal Malik Hassan, as he wrote next to his name, S-O-A, that is a soldier of Allah. And he killed 13 American soldiers. One of them was pregnant. Plus, he only wounded 35 other American infidels. And that will lead us to the last portion, which is how to deal with non-Muslims, infidels.
And this is already happening all over America. But for Professor Esposito,
this is just the sickness of those politicians or people like myself, and he called all of us Islamophobe. Yes, indeed, my friend, we are Islamophobe because he is doing everything he can to brainwash you and make sure you will not listen to any of us. So in simple words, my friends, Professor Esposito does not know anything about Sharia. He does not know that Muslims are living in America for the last 30 years or so practicing Sharia, and he thinks if we ignore the subject or make fun of those who speak about it, then we can make America a peaceful place. No, it is not. The longer we wait, the longer we are ignorant on the subject of Sharia, the longer we allow people like Professor Esposito to claim that everything is great, everything is wonderful, we have no problem with Muslims in America, the greater the destruction of America. People need to be educated about the subject of Sharia. We have a full study on the subject of Sharia. I hope and I pray you go to our website and download these MP3 programs for free.
Listen to them and share them with others,
because otherwise we're going to be in deep trouble.
Now let's go back again to listen to Professor Esposito in his last comments for today.
It's an interesting, you know, phenomenon. I mean, try to wrap your head around it again. I mean, I often say, some of the students who heard me speak at 3:30, you can fall asleep for the next 3 minutes because I'm going to say, I often say I have the best job in the world, and I really do, in the sense of it's most, also the most frustrating. I've been doing talks and writing for 40 years. I've been dealing with diplomats, consulting all over European governments, etc. And I'm asked the same questions all the times about Islam. Is Islam a more violent religion than other religions? How about the Prophet Muhammad? How could he be a prophet? He was a warrior. David, let me guess. Joshua, let me see. I mean, it's almost like people haven't read the Bible. And I also get this often from ministers who come from a faith dimension and see the Bible literally, and somehow they bypass all of the passages in the Bible that deal, you know, with violence.
Now, to rebut what he said in this one mouthful of words, I can say, yes, you've been lying to the American people. You brainwashed generations for 45 years by now, because this lecture was a good 5-6 years ago, and you have destroyed the entire West because of your influence on the diplomats all over the world, Europe and here in America. All the government leaders whom you talk to when they rush to you seeking your advice when it comes to the subject of Muslims and Islam, the question was given to you by these diplomats: is Islam more violent religion than any other religion? Of course, Islam is not a religion. Islam is a savage cult. That's what Islam is all about. As for the question, how can Muhammad be a prophet when he was a warrior? You answer me, sir. How can Muhammad be a prophet
when he was a savage warrior? Let us judge Muhammad by his own words.
As it is written in Ibn Hisham, The Life of Muhammad, 3rd edition, part 6, volume 3, page 8. Muhammad said, I descended by Allah with the sword in my hand, and my wealth will come from the shadow of my sword, and the one who will disagree with me will be humiliated and persecuted. What do you think of that, Professor Esposito?
What about what Muhammad said
in Sahih Muslim and Sahih Bukhari? I have been commanded by Allah to engage in war with people until they say, we bear witness that there is no God except Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. What do you call that, sir? But the smart Professor Esposito went to the Bible. You want to compare Muhammad, the child molester, the sex offender, the prophet pretender, the womanizer, the adulterer, the thief, the thug, the terrorist, the savage, to David and Joshua and Moses. Maybe, Professor Esposito, you need to read my new book, Volume 1, Jihad, Holy War in the Bible, to know the difference between the killing of the Bible and the killing in the savage cult, the cult of Islam.
And here is a quick summary for what is written in that book.
The killing of the Bible is a justifiable killing.
It is about the killing of sinners and criminals, no matter who they are, Jews or Gentiles.
Because the same God who ordered Joshua and Moses and David to kill the wicked people of the earth, those who live in that specific land, in the promised land, after God waited 430 years on them to repent, it is the same God who killed his own chosen Jewish people, the children of Israel,
when they committed the same sin.
That is the just killing. When you sin, you die. So it was a just punishment for sin, no matter who committed it. But as for your Muhammad, he was only killing Christians. Why? Because he believes that Jesus is God Almighty who came in the flesh, died on the cross and rose again. That is the reason why Muhammad was killing Christian men and raping their wives and daughters to raise the next Muslim generation. Are you trying to tell me that the killing of the Bible is the same killing as Muhammad in the Quran, sir? And the beauty of the Bible is that the killing of the Old Testament did not continue forever. Why? Because God, justice, met with his love on the cross. That is when God punished the sin of the world in his own Son, Jesus Christ. God Almighty became flesh, and he died on the cross to save us all from our sins. And there is no more killing in the New Testament. But Muhammad, the savage man, whom Professor Esposito called a prophet, came to kill the Christians and the Jews simply because they are Christians and Jews. And to continue our study of the future of Islam, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.